welcome to our latest investor update. I'm Gary Shepherd, and today I'm joined by Pacon Breton, our head of portfolio management. Welcome, Pacon.
Hi, Gary.
Pacon, markets largely fell in September. Can you provide us with some context to this?
Well, during September, markets worldwide exhibited a general weakness, both in developed and emerging markets. And this trend was reflected in US equities, which saw a negative return just below minus 5%. Given the influence of the US on global indices, we saw a similar fall on aggregate across global benchmarks such as the MSCI World. Similar trends were observed in Europe, China and Canada, where performance mirrored the broader negative sentiment. However, there were exceptions in the form of the UK and Japanese large companies, and each outperforming for different reasons. In Japan, the continuing weakness of the yen remained a positive factor, buoying the local equity markets. And in the UK, the rebound in oil prices and commodities in general favored the FTSE 100. This index, the primary UK benchmark for large cap stocks, houses a number of significant commodity-related companies, and more so compared to other regions, and so benefited from the resurgence in energy markets. So in essence, while September saw a prevailing market weakness, certain regions displayed resilience and outperformed, responding to specific economic and currency dynamics. The fixed income market showed notable disparities among developed regions and between short and long-term bonds. So in the UK, the former saw a modest decline after inflation data released a few days earlier and turned out to be lower than expected, albeit still elevated. And this influenced the Bank of England's decision to maintain the current interest rate at 5.25%. And in the US, the Federal Reserve also chose to pause, reinforcing the prevailing sentiment that short-term rates may have peaked or are on the brink of doing so on both sides of the Atlantic. Lastly, in contrast, the landscape for longer-term bonds tells a different tale, with a persistent upward trajectory of yields. And this narrative gains strength with the expectations that yields will remain elevated for an extended period, and it's longer than initially foreseen. The pace of adjustment proved swift and somewhat unexpected, and especially considering the absence of significant related news beside the oil price increase and the ongoing downward trend in inflation across all developed regions. Then, currency movements were also notable in September, with the dollar gaining value against many currencies, especially the pound and the euro. The expectation of prolonged higher interest rates in the US makes the greenback attractive to international investors, and even concerns about a sizable deficit in the US national balance sheet hasn't dampened their interest significantly.
So do major central banks continue to play a significant role in driving short-term movements in financial markets?
Well, certainly. And there were noteworthy developments from the major central banks in September. So both the Federal Reserve and the Bank of England decided to pause off their pace of increase for the month, mirroring the Bank of Japan, which has maintained its rates unchanged since 2016. In contrast, the European Central Bank opted for an increase of 25 basis points, or said differently, 0.25%. And although policymakers in both the UK and the US opted for a pause, the outcomes couldn't be more different. At the Fed, the members unanimously agreed to the pause. And this suggests that they might solely entertain the possibility of one final increase in November, of course, contingent upon the macroeconomic data that emerges between now and then. For the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee, the vote was very close, with five members advocating for a pause, and including Governor Bailey, and four in favour of another increase. And this marked the first meeting without a hike since November 2021. The divergence in inflation trends between the UK and the US is notable, and with the latter experiencing a decline for almost 12 months, while in the UK, only the most recent reading significantly deviated from the peak reached in May of this year. And in its statement, the Bank of England acknowledged the likelihood of weaker GDP in the UK for the third quarter and the rest of the year compared to earlier forecasts. It's a crucial factor in its decision to pause the rate increase. So the major four banks are all navigating a delicate balance, striving to bring inflation sustainably back to their 2% target, while steering clear of excessively restrictive policy rates that could push economies into recession. The verdict is still uncertain on whether they can successfully manage this challenge. And as usual, the most crucial central bank for the rest of the developed world remains the US Fed. Thus far, the Fed appears to be striking the right balance, but providing a more precise view at this moment still proves quite challenging. Models for GDP growth over the next 12 months still show a broad range of potential outcomes. Taking, for instance, a widely used model from the New York Fed, its current forecast for US GDP growth is an expansion of 1.1% for 2024. But the margin of error spans between minus 4% to plus 6.3%, underscoring the difficulty in making precise forecasts.
So, Pacom, the price of oil has rebounded lately. Can you elaborate on how impactful this could be?
Well, certainly. And the price, the move in oil prices was significant news in September. Brent, one of the two major benchmarks for oil prices, surged above $90 per barrel, and it's a level not witnessed since November last year. And although it's still significantly below the $120 mark, which was observed in the early stages of the Ukraine invasion, and this undoubtedly rekindles less concerns about inflation, the impact is perceived as restrained at these levels, and particularly for the US consumer. The energy share of consumption from oil and related products currently stands at around 4%, a figure that has markedly decreased in recent decades. However, the impact may be a bit more pronounced in Europe, especially given the concurrent strengthening of the dollar versus the euro. Overall, at the present level and assuming stability, the impact remains limited. So should prices escalate significantly, we would reassess the implications for our portfolios.
Thanks, Pacom. Great to hear from you. And thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss in next month's investor update, contact us via email or social media.
More information about this update is available in the description. As with all investing, your capital is at risk. The value of your portfolio with Nutmeg can go down as well as up, and you may get back less than you invest. Past or future performance indicators are not a reliable indicator of future performance.